Morning, morning, everybody. I don't know why, it just feels like today's like January for some reason. And it's September already. Well, welcome. If this is your first time, this is CFT Bristol Church. We're a church that's based out of London. This is the Bristol branch. My name is Pastor Benson. And it's good to have you here. It's great that you could wake up on a Sunday morning and instead of rolling over and, you know, having large breakfast and watching TV, you appeared in church this morning. So great to see us. All right, this morning we're going to carry on with a series that was started last week. Now, as a church, what we do is we will get a sense of what God is telling us as a church, and then we will, should I say, crystallize what God is telling us as a church into a series, and we now teach on that series. So for the kids doing Sunday school, you can just go with your teacher at the back. They have their own section at the back, so thanks for that. So we will look at we'll get a sense of what God is telling us as a church for that particular season, and we crystallize it into a series, and we teach that series for maybe about 4 weeks, 6 weeks, thereabouts. So that's what we do. So this morning we're going to carry on. Sister Tish, don't worry, just grab a seat. Just take it from there. So this morning we're just going to carry on from where we stopped last week. The series we're looking at this month is Living a Fulfilled Life by the Holy Spirit. Living a Fulfilled Life by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to put something out there, and I think what I just want to start by saying is often as believers, when we hear about the Holy Spirit or the working of the Holy Spirit, I don't know about you, but what comes to mind sometimes is when you switch on YouTube and you see a big crusade of people, and they said the power of the Holy Spirit is moving, people are falling under the Spirit, people are being healed, and the Holy Spirit works like that, to touch people, to heal people, to really manifest the power of God through an individual in a particular place. So that's what comes to mind often, and it can be that we just relegate, I use that word relegate, the working of the Holy Spirit to just church meetings, crusades, which he does. But failing to realize that those things that the Holy Spirit, that he does in those contexts are just part of the things that he does, but not really the full context of what the Holy Spirit does aside from that. What do I mean by that? When Jesus was around on the earth and he was talking to his disciples, he began to talk about the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. He spoke about a number of things concerning the Holy Spirit. And those things that he spoke about the Holy Spirit had to do with the individual, had to do with you and I as individuals and him helping us in that sense. So the first thing I'm saying this morning is let's try and, contextualize and personalize the work of the Holy Spirit, that he just doesn't work in church meetings. He just doesn't work in crusade meetings where there are loads of people. He just doesn't work in terms of the manifestation of the gifts through healing, prophecy, and all those things, all those wonderful things that he does. That's not all that the Holy Spirit does. And I believe that one of the really important things that the Holy Spirit does is he helps us to live a fulfilled life. He helps the individual believer. He helps you and I to live a fulfilled life. So you might be asking, what is a fulfilled life? What does that mean in context? What does that mean? Well, a fulfilled life, I believe, amongst other things, is you becoming like Christ. You living out the plans that Christ has for you as an individual. That's when you live a fulfilled life from the biblical context. So as an introduction this morning, I'm just saying that we're going to be looking at the working of the Holy Spirit in very simple terms in the life of an individual. Very simple terms in the life of an individual, in your life, in my life. That's what we're going to be looking at in this series. Living a fulfilled life led by the Holy Spirit. We'll look at other things as well from next week. We'll look at things like, how are you led by the Holy Spirit? How do you hear the voice of God? How can you tell that God is speaking to you concerning a particular thing? How can you tell that it is God that is leading you in a particular direction? What do you do when you need to understand what's going on around you, or you're trying to make a decision? How do you hear the voice of God? How do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? We'll look at those things from next week. But for today, I'm looking at a subtopic I've called, the things I want to do, I don't do them, but it's the things that I hate that I do. And I'm going to take that portion of text from Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. It says, I do not understand what I do. This is Paul the Apostle speaking, we believe, in this context, for on behalf of all of us. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Romans 7:15. So that is what we're looking at today. So what does that mean? In this context, Paul the Apostle, we believe he's the one that wrote Romans, he began to explain the plight of a lot of us as believers. And he said that you encounter Christ, you become born again, and you want your life to change. You want to live your life in a particular manner. There are certain things that you want to do better. There are certain things that you're like, look, I'm not going to do this thing ever again. Now that I am a Christian, I shouldn't be doing these sorts of things. And you're genuinely wanting to do those things. But along the way, you find out that, hang on, these things that I don't want to do, these things that I said I won't do, are the things I end up doing. And they could be simple things. They could be simple things. I mean, we'll look at a number of those things. I remember that I read somewhere about this psychologist in America. That's a while ago. This preacher was saying this psychologist came to him. In America, this psychologist was like the top psychologist. I mean, he was like the renowned experts in everything psychology, everything that had to do with the human mind. People would pay thousands and thousands of dollars to see him in the medical field. And he came to this preacher secretly, and he told this preacher, the preacher was narrating it in this book, he told this preacher that, look, I've come to you secretly because everybody knows me as the man that has the solution to their problems. From a psychological perspective, people who are depressed, people who have mental challenges, I come and I advise them, and, you know, but in my life, secretly, there are things that I do, and he mentioned some of those things that I just don't know how to stop doing this thing. And the man was crying. A renowned psychologist, he said, look, I know this is what I ought to do. I know I shouldn't be doing this. And some of the things he described there were really terrible. But he says, every time I determine in my heart not to do these things, I end up even going deeper and deeper and deeper into these things that I do. And he was frustrated. So Paul the Apostle was telling us in this scripture that this is what we will encounter sometimes as believers. How do we deal with this kind of thing? Maybe you're the individual that you get angry quite a bit, and you're like, now I'm not going to be, if anybody upsets me, I'm just going to speak to them coolly. You know, someone does something bad to me, maybe previously I'll have shouted and even maybe slapped them. And you know, but now that I'm a believer, no. When people annoyed Christ, he didn't say a word. Do you understand? Now, someone comes and they annoy you. And maybe for the first few minutes, you just calm down. You don't say anything. You say, I'm going to be a good, no anger, out of my life. And they keep pressing that button. They keep pressing that button. And suddenly, the tables take a turn. I remember a long time ago, this was about, I believe about 20 years ago. And I was in this office, I got this job, and I was in charge of a team of about three, four people. And I had another counterpart who was in the same office, but he was looking after a team of four people who were doing things, but we were working together. And this guy, so we were colleagues, this guy and I. He wasn't my manager, he wasn't anything, he was my colleague. And at that point in time, every time we got to a meeting with the leaders at that office, this guy would just be saying all sorts of things to me about me. Like, oh, the way you're doing your team, the way you've done this is wrong. It's, you know, are you sure you know what you're doing? Blah, 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 and so on and so forth. I wouldn't say anything. And he kept doing this and doing this and doing this. I mean, there's a professional way to do these things. If, for example, you have like a comment about someone's work and all that, you can just say, okay, this, particularly when they're not even your manager. This guy kept on and on and on and on for several weeks like that. I'll just respond and say, well, we're doing it the way we should do it. This is the way it's been scheduled to do. And, you know, I just keep cool. Then one morning I got into the office. I don't know, maybe I hadn't had breakfast that day or something. And I got into the office and this guy started again, but this time it was just both of us. I mean, early in the morning. And he's like, oh, sorry, I've looked at the way you guys are doing things. I said, look, manage your team, do what you need to do, let me do my work. If you have any comments, there's a way you can say, oh, no, that he has to express his feelings and all that. The guy's Australian, Aussie. Those guys are, you know, not that I have anything against Australians, but very vocal, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he was going on and on. Do you know what I did? I said a short prayer. Do you know what that short prayer was? Can anyone guess what that prayer was? I said, God, please, just give me 5 minutes. I didn't say God, come. I said, God, please, just 5 minutes. And I promise you, after these 5 minutes, I will repent. I'm serious. That's the prayer I prayed. At this point, I was boiling. I mean, I was like, man, this is enough. And after I prayed that powerful prayer, I'm not sure God answered that prayer. After I prayed that powerful prayer, you know, you'll have thought that you'll just be like, okay, just calm down. And then after I prayed that powerful prayer, I unleashed anger on this guy. I said, hang on. And I started telling him that in your life, if you ever talk to me that way anymore, I will do things to you that you will regret. And I began to tell him that, look, you're very rude, you're very, and I listed out all the adjectives in the English language that describe people who are, I'm not sure I called him stupid or silly or ignorant. And I shouted at this guy. Not too loud so that everybody else can hear. You know that kind of shout that the guy standing next to you is the one that will hear? I gave it to him and he froze. He was so shocked because I think generally I come across as a cool person. When I unleashed that anger at him, he was so shocked, he was in a frozen state. He said, oh, I'm sorry, Ayla. I said, shut up. Don't tell me you're sorry. What are you sorry about? I now unleashed another one on him. When I finished with him, he didn't even know what to do. I just walked out. I walked out. And I heard a whisper. Wow. That was so nice, the way you handled that, wasn't it? That was so nice, the way you handled that, you know? So what am I saying here? At that point, obviously, I went back to him and I apologized. I said, look, I'm really sorry about the way I spoke to you. From that day, he never, ever said anything again. But what I'm just saying is that the way I handled that was very aggressive. But I know you guys are also cool. You don't do anything like that. You don't shout at people. When people annoy you, you guys just say, don't worry, it's fine, it's fine. I'm the only one that shouts at people, that, you know, can get like that. You guys don't, you look like you don't do that kind of thing. It's just, oh, Pastor B, how could you have done that? I mean, if it was me, I'd have just, you know. So, what are we looking at this morning? What does that have to do with the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit have to do with you controlling anger or removing anger from you so that you don't ruin your relationships? There are people, and we'll look at one example in a minute. There are people that we might have said things to that we didn't really intend to, and it has ruined that relationship. It has ruined that opportunity. The psychologist that I spoke about earlier, he was in a point where he was doing things that he didn't want to do. So Paul the Apostle was saying to us in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, that as human beings and as believers, we will do things that we don't want to do. Maybe things that we've said, I will never do this again. I'm not going to be this. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to talk to people in a way that, but we end up doing those things like I did with that guy at the office years ago. How do we deal with this? We'll look at that in a minute. I want to focus on the story of someone in the Bible this morning, Peter, the apostle. Peter the apostle. I look at three main areas in this teaching this morning. We'll look at the life of Peter without the help of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we'll look at the life of Peter with the help of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to make three points this morning around this. So we're looking at living a fulfilled life, a life led by the Holy Spirit, and particularly doing things that maybe we have determined in our hearts that we will not do, but we keep doing them. How do we sort that out? So we'll start by looking at the life of Peter this morning. We'll look at a number of points and how the Holy Spirit comes into the picture. Now, I've talked about anger this morning. I've talked about one or two really light things. But there are people who face deeper issues in their lives that they're dealing with. They might not even be able to tell you. And it's eating them up inside. And they're Christians. Do you understand? So we look at the life of Peter before the Holy Spirit comes to him. So the first thing we see here about Peter is in Matthew chapter 26, verse 35. Matthew chapter 26, verse 35. Before this time, Jesus told his disciples that I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be killed, and I'll be crucified. And Peter told Jesus in front of all the disciples in Matthew chapter 26, verse 35. He says, but Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. So Peter looked at Jesus and said, I will never disown you. If anybody wants to kill you, in fact, we will die together. That's what Peter said. And do you know what? He meant it. But there's something about fear. There's something about fear that when sudden fear comes to an individual, it is at that point you realize certain things about yourself. So Peter was determined, I'm not going to deny Christ, that this is what I'm going to do. Then we fast forward to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 57. It says, then they seized Jesus and led him away and took him into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. When those present had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down amongst them. A servant girl saw him seated in the firelight and looked intently at him. This man also was with him, she said. But Peter denied it. Woman, I do not know him, he said. Woman, I do not know him, he said. So what led Peter to do that? Peter was afraid. He loved Jesus. He was determined to do the things that Jesus, well, he was determined to stay with Jesus all through thick and thin. But when the situation faced him, fear caused him to buckle and to deny Jesus. So you might be like, man, this is quite extreme. But do you know that for you and I, sometimes fear often dictates what we do and how we do it sometimes. So this was kind of like an interesting extreme situation, but sometimes our lives are driven by fear. Our decisions sometimes are driven by fear. Our emotions sometimes is driven by fear. You turn on the news and they say the economy is bad. 10,000 people have lost their jobs in this company. This has happened. This is happening. And you look at that and suddenly you might be overwhelmed with a certain emotion of fear and you begin to panic. And you begin to panic. How will I take care of myself? How will I pay my bills? How will I do this? How will I do that? And it becomes a life that is driven by fear. Fear is not a good thing, I tell you. It is not a good thing. So, how do you live a fulfilled life? So, in this case, Peter was faced with fear and he buckled. And this fear that he had interjected into the relationship that he had with Christ. Do you understand? We also see something else here about Mr. Peter. I wasn't as extreme as this guy before. There was a time, I haven't got the scripture here. The Bible says in Luke, as they came to arrest Jesus, Peter did something here. The Bible says that as they came to arrest Jesus, Jesus was there. Judas came with other, with people who had knives and clubs and all those things. Do you know what Peter did? Peter removed the sword and he cut off one of the ears of the servants, or one of the people that came to arrest Jesus. So this was a guy that had anger issues and he was quite violent. Can you imagine what it would seem like, right? As I'm preaching now, right? Some people come into the church. By the way, this is just an example. I'm not saying anybody's going to come to the church to do this. Some people come into the church, maybe about five or so people, and they're masked. And they're like, we don't want anything here with anyone. We just want Pastor Benson. Just step aside. Then suddenly, let me look for someone I can use as an example. Suddenly, Prince just jumps out here and he brings out a sword and he cuts off one of their ears, what will come to your mind? You're like, man, that's a bit... that's a bit extreme. So we see Peter here as, a man that this guy was out. He was really out there. He exhibited to the extreme, fully some of the emotions that we encounter as well. Some of the emotions that we encounter. I remember there's this guy that came to, I was talking with this guy a while ago, and he said he wanted to see me. I said, yeah, let's chat. And he told me something quite interesting. He said he did something to his wife today that in his whole entire life, he never thought he could do. I said, what's that? He said that he was talking with his wife and it became quite argumentative. She said a lot of things, he said a lot of things and all that. And before he knew it, he slapped her. He said when he did that, he froze and he took a step back. And he said, what did I just do now? And for him, it really bothered him. He apologized. Obviously, his wife said, you're not serious and all those things. And he froze. And the reason he said he froze was because he said in his life, one thing that he swore to himself that he would never do was to raise his hand against any woman, talk less of his wife. But that day, like Peter, Peter didn't slap his wife. He did something out of character. Something that he thought, I would never ever do this kind of thing in my life. So, we begin to see something here that the Romans chapter 7 that we read, verse 15, that Paul was saying that there are things that, he says, I don't even understand myself, that there are things that I want to do, but I don't do those things. It is the things that I hate that I do. So we see the life of Peter here. One, he was fearful sometimes. He was angry and sometimes even almost violent. We also see Peter as well again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 to 23. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 to 23. And Peter was talking with Jesus, and Jesus was talking with his disciples, and he said, I'm going to be crucified. He told them what was going to happen to him. And in Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 to 23, Peter jumps in and says, far be it from me, Lord, this shall not happen to you, in response to Jesus predicting his own suffering and death. Jesus then rebukes Peter with the words, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. So the other thing we see about Peter as well are these character traits that we often exhibit as well. Peter was someone that jumped to conclusions. He said the wrong things often. Someone tells him something, and before you know it, he jumps to wrong conclusions. He says the wrong things. In this case, he was saying the wrong thing to Jesus, and Jesus said, no, this is the devil talking through this guy. So what am I saying here? I'm looking at a number of things that are very simple that we encounter every day as Christians. We encounter fear. We encounter anger. We sometimes just speak out of character. We say things that we regret. We say things that we look back and like, my goodness, how could I have said that? So how are these things relevant to us now? How is it relevant to you? So yeah, you get angry. Yeah, no big deal. So yeah, you know. The thing is this. Looking at the life of Peter, right, in this context, these things almost ruined his life. But it's just that it's Jesus that he did it to. So Jesus understood and Jesus forgave him. But the truth of the matter is this. As we go through life, if we do some of these things, these are just some character traits, we might do them in a context that we will not be forgiven. We might do them in a context that it will ruin the relationships that we have. And these things become irrecoverable. So, talking about living a fulfilled life led by the Holy Spirit, you and I begin to realize that there are these little things that are character traits that we might have. There are things that we look at and we're like, look, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be this kind of person. I don't want to be the angry kind of person. I don't want to be the person who lives life in a particular way that doesn't measure up to what Christ wants for me. So we're looking at that, and it causes sometimes some sort of like conflict in us, like this Romans chapter 7. So the thing is this, how do I get out of this? This thing that can ruin my relationship, these things that pop up once in a while and can really make my life miserable. Conflict in our hearts. How do we deal with these sorts of things? Well, there are a number of ways you can deal with it. You can write all your resolutions on a sheet of paper. I will not do this. I will not do this. I will not do this. And that's great. You can be determined and say, wow, And in the next minute, you're doing exactly all those things on your list that you said you wouldn't do. So it's like you're stuck. It's like I'm stuck. What's the point? I'm stuck. Now, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. This is exactly where the Holy Spirit comes in. This is where we need to be aware that this is where the Holy Spirit comes in for us as well. So, what does that mean? I'm making three main points this morning. So the first point is, we looked at Peter and said, we have certain character traits that are not exactly the best, and they can actually affect our relationships, as the second point. So the third and final point this morning is this. Jesus said some things about the Holy Spirit, but it appears that for a lot of us, we only see the Holy Spirit from the perspective that he manifests through us through power. He heals. He does all these wonderful things. But the Holy Spirit also, Jesus said, helps you and I with these character issues or traits. He helps us with these things that we say we do not want to do, but we keep doing them. And in John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says something. He says, when the advocate, and in this instance, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, and he has come already, one of the main things that he will be doing is helping you and I to live a fulfilled life by dealing with some of these character challenges that we have. Dealing with some of the anger issues that we have. All these things that we have. Not by our own power, because if we could do it on our own, then we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. But Jesus specifically said that these are some of the things that the Holy Spirit will be doing through us, in us, to change us from inside. Now, what I'm saying seems like really simple. And the truth of the matter is that it is simple. So, going to Romans, okay, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. I'll read this, I will highlight one point, then after that we will pray. Galatians chapter 5 verses 16 to 24 is a long read. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other. That means there's a struggle within you and I. So that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It says the acts of the law of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, rivalries, division, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, like those who practice will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. So Paul lists out all some of these things that we struggle with sometimes. And he now goes to verse 22, and he now says something that is quite important, which is the main thing for this morning. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his affections and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking and envying one another. So verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5 tells us this, that as we depend on the Holy Spirit, there are certain things that he will begin to do in us. He says there will be a supernatural love that we have for people around us. He says we will experience peace, patience, we will be kind, goodness, self-control. So when that person tries to trigger you and they press your button, press that button, that hot button, the Holy Spirit will, if you allow him, help you to develop self-control so those things don't trigger you as they should. So this Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Thank you so much. I think I'm reading you backwards. So we begin to see that these things that the Holy Spirit does in us as we cooperate with him, as we are aware, will help to deal with the challenges that we have when it comes to fear, anger, all these things that can really put a clog in the relationships that we have or can hinder our lives one way or the other. The Holy Spirit has the answer to them. So the question now is this: what do I do? How do I begin to imbibe these qualities? It's really quite simple. Everything that we receive from God is through faith. What do I mean by that? So what I mean by that is this. For everyone that is born again that has the Holy Spirit, anytime you are beginning to experience anger or any of those things, reflect and just ask God and say, Holy Spirit, help me. And expect that he will help you. It is that simple. And as you practice that, as you practice handing over your fears to God, as you practice, that's the key word, as you practice handing over the things that concern you to God, as you practice that, God, I am not feeling joy here. Help me to be joyful. As you become conscious of those things, outlining these things, can you just put verse 22 out there? Galatians 5:22 alone. Thank you. And as you look at those things, you realize that over a period of time, you begin to change. Over a period of time, you begin to experience peace, kindness, self-control as you practice asking God to help you in these areas. And as you ask, you also expect that God will change you. And as you do this, what you realize is that one day you will wake up and the raging anger that you experienced will have disappeared. One day you will wake up and you realize that the things that you don't want to do that cause you so much pain and embarrassment, suddenly those things, you don't feel like doing them anymore. They've disappeared. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has done a work in you. Do we understand? So, I'm going to end there this morning. We're looking at living a fulfilled life led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help you and I in our daily, simple, everyday walk. Not just in the big things, but in the little things as well. Do we understand? And as we do this, our lives will align to be fulfilled. We will experience the joy of God in our relationships and the things around us. The things that cause fear in the hearts of people naturally will not cause fear in our hearts. Do we understand? So this morning, we're just going to pray. And the prayer we're praying this morning is a simple one. I like to keep things simple because the Bible is simple. The prayer that we're going to pray this morning is, God, help me to depend on the Holy Spirit. Help me to depend on the Holy Spirit to change my heart, to help me with these challenges that I face. In Jesus' name. So let's just pray that prayer this morning, then I'll pray for us.